Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Want to welcome in Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Hello, John. How are you?
Well, I'm in a great mood like you guys seem to be in today. So, hey, this is a beautiful sunny day, perfect for football.
You have gone to Michigan Stadium wearing Ohio State garb. Are you wearing Iowa Hawkeyes gear today?
Well, let's put it this way. I don't have the gear on, but I'm certainly going to be rooting for that team, my beloved Hawkeyes. How does that sound?
All right. You talked about the psychology of games that you should win and you don't win, and maybe that's the mark of a program that isn't quite there yet, or a program that self-destructs. But
that's right.
A Michigan State-Purdue game like this in the past has been one the Spartans have gagged away. What will it tell us today psychologically if Michigan State comes out and dominates?
If we come out and dominate this game, then I think we can really say there's a major change in Michigan State that we're really seeing, let alone that D'Antonio's won more games than anyone else in his tenure in terms of the same amount of time. But this is a big game because over the years, Michigan State has won a ton of big games, but they lose a lot of games that make no sense to lose, particularly right after a big win. So this is a game that on paper, Michigan State ought to win. They're probably a 3-touchdown favorite. But these are the ones they've tended to squander. Like if we go in there and all of a sudden it's a close game and Purdue thinks they can win, we make some mistakes, then bad things happen. But if this team, if Michigan State comes out, plays dedicated, plays the way they can, plays good defense, and is able to control the ball, it could even be an easy win. It'll be very interesting to see what happens today. And really, psychologically, I'm looking very forward to this game. This is a big game.
Well, you know, keep in mind, John, this Purdue team is pretty pathetic. I mean, sans Ryan Kerrigan, who's a tremendous player, this is not a very good team. In fact, Michigan struggled against them last week. I mean, they've been injury riddled. It's been a tough year for Purdue, and I'm just thinking Michigan State better smoke them today and send these seniors out on a high note, or something's wrong.
Well, see, I agree with you, John. We're on the same schedule. I'm simply saying traditionally, these have been the kind of a game that Michigan State got the reputation, same old Sparties. They can beat a Michigan on one day, then they can lose to Louisiana Tech. I mean, who knows what they have done in the past. That's why this ought to be a win, but I think we're going to have to wait and see. If this is the type of 2-3-4 touchdown win, then that's what you would expect, and this is what has made Ohio State what they are and what Michigan used to be, teams that would generally come out and do what you expect them to do. We're starting to see that now with D'Antonio, except for that real slip that I was at that Iowa game. But, hey, that can happen to anybody on a given day. So let's see what happens psychologically. Are they ready? Are they prepared? Can they go against a team that appears to be an inferior opponent and put them away? This is a good test today.
When you talk about a program that has won 31 games, that is modest by some school standards. But for Michigan State, it is record levels. And coming into a program that had won, I believe, 13 games the previous 3 years. And to turn that around, to go from 13 wins to 31, says you're doing something right. But I want to talk a little basketball, John. And now we've got Derek Nix in his sophomore season.
Yeah, what's the scoop on that? What's his issue? Do you know?
I think he thinks that he wants a different role. He wants more playing time. He wants to be a more prominent part of the program. And we'll see. We'll see what he does, what he chooses to do. Obviously, Derek Nix has some talent, or Tom Izzo wouldn't have invested.
Is he quitting? I don't know. What's the issue?
No, he's reevaluating what he wants to do. And he could. He could leave. He could transfer. But I don't think he's going to find a better place. I don't think he's going to find a place where he can walk in and take 25 shots a game for a top 10 program.
Right.
So,
but he also is a guy. He right now has a role. He's developing. He's a young guy. And he could be very useful, maybe critical, in these Big Ten games when you need a banger and a big guy. The point is, he's going to have to accept whatever role he might have. If he wants to play 20 minutes a game, probably this year he's not going to do that. I mean, I can't speak for what's going to develop. But he apparently has some concerns about what he's going to do, what his role is, and that's what he's taking a look at. But I would rather be on a championship-type team with an incredibly high caliber of player than I would just going somewhere else and sitting out a year, and who knows what would happen in a new program. So let's hope that when he makes a decision, he makes one, certainly what's good for him, but also takes into account overall what's good for everybody involved.
Well, when I saw him in high school, I mean, I just, even though he had, you know, great domination down low, I just didn't see him being able to maintain the fast pace required for the Michigan State football or basketball program. And I mean, did you ever have any reservations about that, Jack, when they signed him or not?
Yeah, I had a lot of reservations when they signed him.
I mean, when he's huffing and puffing down questions. The court, and, you know, I didn't think it was a fit.
Well, I did the championship game his senior year, and he struggled mightily. It wasn't relevant because Keith Appling took over the game.
But they were taking him. He had to get out of the game to get, you know, to get his, you know, to take a blow every once in a while.
And to his credit, maybe belatedly, but he has worked himself into much better shape. I mean, the guy's lost about 70 pounds, so you have to give him that. But in terms of expectations, he is not alone. He's certainly not the first player who's come to a program and thought it was going to be a little different than it is. I've heard Tom Izzo's recruiting message, so I know he wasn't promised a starting job or X number of shots. I'll never forget when Patrick Ford was recruited at Michigan State, and even Bob Knight came in to try to recruit him.
Is he out of Catholic Central?
No.
Where is he from?
No.
Detroit area?
Yeah, he's from the PSL in Detroit.
Okay.
And when he left, I got a hold of him. Judd wasn't real thrilled with this either, but I got a hold of him, and I said, Patrick, what happened? He said, they never told me I had to play defense, too. So, you know, sometimes you think that you're going to have a different kind of career than you are, but the guy has barely started his sophomore year. It's not
right.
Like he's been there 4 years and he can see the writing on the wall. You know, I compare it a little bit, John, to Morris Peterson. And his first year, he got left home from Maui. And it wasn't a mutual decision. It was a Tom Izzo decision. It's one of the first big decisions he ever made. And he'd recruited Morris Peterson, and they talked about Maui and going to the Maui Invitational. And Morris Peterson watched it on television. And
well,
when Tom Izzo got back, he wasn't sure if Morris Peterson was going to be there.
I think you have to accept your role within reason, and particularly at a team like this that's loaded with so much talent. But this is one of the problems you do have when you have – you can go 10 deep with a team. You do get people, apparently, and this may be that situation, that they want more time, they feel they deserve more time, they feel they're not where they want to be. And that's where it is a good time to examine yourself, examine your conscience, as the old Catholic word, and really take a look at who you are, where you are, where you might be, and if you were to leave, what would happen. And my feeling is I've seen him, and I really wasn't even thinking about how much time. I see him as a banger inside when you need somebody to be clogged the middle, when you need somebody for rebounding in certain situations. He clearly is the kind of guy that can play some good minutes on a basketball team, and over time he could be playing more and more because he's only a sophomore, like you said. He's really just new, or not new. He's here. He's losing weight. He still kind of lumbers around out there, so we'll just have to wait and see. But psychologically, one of the things you have to do when you join a team, you have to look at the players around you and see what might happen and where you might fit in. And part of maturing and developing is accepting a role that you might not like, but
right.
It certainly can change over time.
Right.
John, before we let you go, I got to ask you one more question, a psychology question. What the heck is the psychology of Michigan State football fans not embracing this football program in terms of not having a sellout today? And then over the course of the year, it's kind of been that way, too. I mean, what are they just not football? Is this not a football school? What's going on? You're 9-1, for God's sakes.
Well, here's my feeling. I believe they're going to sell over 70,000 tickets. I think it ought to be a sellout. I do agree with that. I think what's happened, there's a little bit of a gap. Last year was kind of a disappointing year. I'm just kind of giving it to you as I see it. And I think as a result, you're still going to get your over 70,000 people, but it hasn't completely hit. If I were predicting, I think next year, year after, you're going to really see those numbers go up. And Hollis is starting also for season ticket selling. He is bringing in different teams. You bring in a Boise State, that's going to be a good sell. And if you look at the home season next year, the next couple of years, I think you're going to see that the ticket sales definitely go way up. And it isn't like it's empty, but it isn't good to have 2,000-3,000 tickets not sold for a game. And I see it as kind of a process you go through, just what Schembechler had to go through when he got there. It took him, I think, 6-7 years, so he really was filling every game.
Yeah, that's 100,000 seats, not 70,000 seats. Well, there's a big difference.
That's true, but what was Michigan averaging, 60,000 before Bo got there?
No, well, it was 70-plus. I mean, and then
I thought Michigan-Ohio State game was less than 70,000.
That was, yeah, you're talking about, what, 1960? I mean,
1966?
The 67 game, yeah, the 67 game, the 9-7 game. Yeah. I was at that game, and there was, you know, there was 70,000-80,000 people.
Well, Tom, here's the thing. I'm not trying to compare. I'm only making a point. I think there's a process. When people have had some of these ups and downs, I think you run into some people that aren't necessarily going to be a true believer. It's not like there aren't any people going to the games. I mean, we're talking about large numbers. I think this is the type of game that people don't see as that big a game. You've got all these high school games going on. You've got a lot of stuff going on. So I think it ought to be a sellout. It looks like it's going to be a few thousand short. I think this is a talk we can have in a couple of years.
Right.
If the program keeps going, you're going to actually start running into a time where you don't have enough tickets to sell like you do have if Notre Dame comes in, if Michigan comes in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that is a little area more to mine in, but I would see it as more of a process.
Yeah.
Disappointing, but nothing overly terrible.
John, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it, as always.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Tom, I remember when Tom Izzo took over, and they didn't have a lot of people in the stands at Breslin Center either. In one game, they had as many Indiana fans as they had Michigan State fans, and how irritated he was at that. But there's usually a lag of a little bit. Michigan State deserves better fan support
than
they've had in many cases.
At 9-1, they've lost one game.
I'm not talking about the if they have 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 seats that are empty with no-shows, etc. But it bothers me when people leave at the start of the fourth quarter. That always bothers me.
That's always bothered me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, why do you come? I mean, there's students in that student section, because I can attest to this, because my daughter's sitting over there. They're leaving at halftime.
Right.
I mean, what do you got to do?
I don't get
why leave at halftime?
I don't understand that. We'll be back with much, much more. 393-3700, 393-3700. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.